I'm in two minds about it. I mean, one is that I can well understand, because I've been in exactly this position, of why former prime ministers, former first ministers feel restricted in the parliament where they were first minister or prime minister. Because anything you say, absolutely anything you say, will get immediately cast up to your successor. So that is a bind. On the other hand, you know, I think when you stand for election, you make a contract with people in your constituency, and you should continue and serve out your term. And I think it's wrong that he's standing down.
Well, and he gave every indication that he would do that, didn't he?
I still think it's wrong.
He gave every indication he would do that when he resigned as Prime Minister. Do you think it's a dereliction of his duty?
I think he should serve out his term. And the fact that you have to sit there silently for a few years in Parliament. There's lots of other things you can do in Parliament. You can ask constituency questions. You can lobby on behalf of your constituents. In fact, you know, former Prime Ministers are usually in a pretty good position to do that, incidentally. So, you know, there's things you can do. You just can't have the limelight because the limelight belongs to your successor. So I know it's frustrating and all the rest of it, but I think he should have served out his term and honoured his contract with his constituents.
And what you're saying is he's betraying his constituents.
Well, I'm saying he should have honoured his contract with it. I can understand his frustration at the idea that, you know, he's no longer the main man. I understand that very well. I understand that extremely well. I've not ever stood down in a term that I'd stood for, and I don't think anybody else should either, unless, of course, illness or some extraordinary family event. But this doesn't seem like that. From his statement, he's merely saying, look, I'm not going to be able to say very much unless it embarrasses my successor. Well, that's not good enough. I mean, you just keep your mouth shut, do your constituency business, serve out your term, and then you can go off to the international speaking circuit or the House of Lords or whatever suits your fancy.
We always rush to judgment and give our verdict on whether we think a particular Prime Minister has been a good one or a bad one. History often records a very different verdict. If we were having this conversation, say, in 30 years' time on Saga Radio or something, what do you think, how would we be assessing David Cameron, do you think, with the benefit of hindsight?
You've got the graveyard slot on Saga Radio already, Ian, have you not? And that's what I understood. But let's say we were, for example. Let's say we were having a very slow conversation on Saga Radio. I think, on David Cameron's tombstone is the word Europe. Mm. Just like on Tony Blair's political tombstone is the word Iraq. And that's how you'll be remembered. And, he's the man who led the United Kingdom out of Europe by mistake.
I mean, I've called him the Everton of Prime Ministers, just sort of creeping into the top half of the table. Where would you rank him?
Yeah, no more than that. It was on the plus side. You know, he didn't... he did actually get into conflict in Libya and hasn't turned out very well, as we all can see. On the other hand, he didn't start a war in Iraq. So the plus side, he didn't get into a quicksand of an international engagement that cost much in terms of lives and treasure. So that's on the plus side, things he didn't do. But anything he did do, and it was one of the things, for example, equal marriage, I think that's a good thing for particularly a Tory Prime Minister to do. I think that's an excellent thing. I did it in Scotland, but I wasn't coming from a Tory standpoint, so perhaps it was easier for me. So that's a good thing in terms of domestic policy, but Europe's going to overshadow anything and going to dwarf any small achievement is going to be overshadowed by the fact he changed the history of the country and did it by accident.
What one word would you use to describe him?
Not a word, Ian, but a phrase. He was a lucky Prime Minister. Unfortunately for him, the luck ran out.